Current Affairs. Good evening, listeners. Welcome to our program, Current Affairs. I'm Tina Jha. Today, we'll be talking about Somnath, Bharat's invincible spirit. To talk about Somnath and Bharat's unconquerable spirit and how in a world marked by divisions, Somnath gives us a civilizational message of shared unity and prosperity, I'm joined by two distinguished guests, Padmashree Vishnu Pandyaji, he's a historian and author, and Ms. Aditi Tandon, senior journalist. For centuries, the Somnath temple has not just as a place of faith, but as a symbol of resilience. Attacked, rebuilt, and revived time and again, its story is deeply woven into India's civilizational journey. Marking 75 years since the restored temple was reopened to devotees, Prime Minister Narendra Modi has written an article in which he says that every part of Bharat is sacred, bound together by a sense of oneness that transcends geography, and that in a world increasingly marked by divisions, this spirit of unity is more relevant than ever. The Somnath will continue to stand tall in all its glory because the sense of unity and shared civilizational consciousness lives on in the heart of every Indian, said the Prime Minister. In fact, he also remembered the countless people who sacrificed their lives to protect Somnath and those who rebuilt it generation after generation, ensuring that this beacon of faith and cultural continuity continues to stand tall. Earlier this year, the Prime Minister visited the Somnath for the Somnath Swabhiman Parv, marking 1,000 years since the first attack on this temple. And on the 11th of May this year, he will return to the Somnath to commemorate 75 years since the restored temple was inaugurated by India's first president, Dr. Rajendra Prasad. So, pehla sawal historian Padmashree Vishnu Pandya ji se. Pandya ji, Somnath ko aksar log sirf ek mandir nahi, balki Bharat ki pehchan bhi mante hain. प्रधानमंत्री नरेंद्र मोदी वहां कई बार जाते हैं और वहां का जिक्र करते हैं. आपको क्या लगता है कि ऐसा क्यों है? हमारे लिसनर्स को, हमारे श्रोताओं को अगर आप बता सके कि सोमनाथ में ऐसा क्या है जो उस जगह से लोगों का अपने आप एक भावनात्मक जुड़ाव हो जाता है.
देखिए, नरेंद्र मोदी जी इतिहास बोध के आदमी है, वर्षों से है, आज से नहीं. और परंपरा में जिस प्रकार का एक सातत्य रहना चाहिए उसके अनुसार वो चलते हैं. उनके अनुसार जो सोमनाथ की जो बात है वो केवल मंदिर की नहीं है, उन्होंने लिखा भी है, हमारी संस्कृति विनाश से निर्माण इस पर आधारित है. बहुत से विनाश आए, आक्रमण आए, बाकी सब कुछ हुआ, लेकिन पुनः एक बार नहीं, दो बार, तीन बार, 50 बार हमने पुनः निर्माण किया. कुछ ऐसे उदाहरण भी है, जैसे कि हमारे यहाँ प्राच्य विद्या, पुरातत्व विद्या का लोथल स्थान है
जी,
5,000 साल पहले का है. 5,000 साल में उस पर 4 बार सुनामी, समुद्र का विनाश आया, चारों बार लोगों ने इकट्ठा होकर पुनः खड़ा किया. सोमनाथ पर अनेकों आक्रमण आए और फिर भी लोगों ने बार बार उनका पुनर, केवल राजाओं ने नहीं, लोगों ने भी. मैं उनका एक उदाहरण देना चाहता हूँ. ईस्वी सन 1400 तब एक बार आक्रांताओं ने मंदिर को नष्ट किया, लोग सब इकट्ठा हुए और लोगों ने अपनी शक्ति से और अपनी भक्ति से उनका पुनर्निर्माण किया. ये सोमनाथ की बात है
जी.
तो विनाश से निर्माण, कितने पुनरोद्धार हुए, बहुत से हुए. एक दो चार उदाहरण हम दें तो गुर्जर प्रतिहारों ने निर्माण किया, राजा भोज ने निर्माण किया, राजा कुमारपाल ने किया, भीमदेव ने किया, पाशुपत आचार्य त्रिपुरांतक ने किया, महिपाल देव ने किया. एक बार तो जैन और पाशुपत दोनों शैव दोनों मिलकर किया है. तो इसका मतलब है कि ये जो महारानी अहिल्याबाई ने भी किया, इस परंपरा की कड़ी में सरदार वल्लभ भाई आए. 1947 के नवंबर में जब जूनागढ़ को पाकिस्तान के साथ जोड़ने की घोषणा हुई थी नवाब के द्वारा, उसके खिलाफ आरजी हुकूमत हुई थी और आरजी हुकूमत ने जूनागढ़ को मुक्ति दिलाई, तब उसी दिन सरदार वल्लभ भाई जूनागढ़ आए. जूनागढ़ में उन्होंने बड़ी सभा की और बाद में वो वहां से, दिवाली का दिन था, वो सोमनाथ गए. उनके साथ महाराजा जामनगर के दिग्विजय सिंह जी थे, एनवी गाडगिल थे जो मिनिस्टर थे, जनरल मुंशी थे. ये सभी के सभी लोगों ने देखा और वल्लभ भाई ने देखा कि ये जीर्ण शीर्ण मंदिर खड़ा है, किस प्रकार इसकी दशा है, इसका पुनरोद्धार होना चाहिए. तो समुद्र से अंजलि भर पानी लेकर हथेली में उन्होंने संकल्प किया. इससे पहले 1892 में स्वामी विवेकानंद आए थे
जी.
और उन्होंने ऐसी ही स्थिति में जो सोमनाथ था वहां समाधिस्थ हुए, सामने हिंद महासागर था, और तब उन्होंने सामने, वो कहते हैं वो सबसे पहला उनको दर्शन भारत माता का वो वहां हुआ था।
Okay, so we'll continue this conversation trying to understand about the historical significance and how it resonates also with a lot of people in so many ways. But let me bring in the Prime Minister's upcoming visit, the article that he's written just ahead of the visit, and it's quite reflective and personal in tone. So, Ms. Aditi Tandon, the question to you is that this is one of the many visits by the Prime Minister to the Somnath Temple, and in fact, this is going to be the second one on the 11th of May this very year. According to you, what do you think the Somnath Temple represents for the Prime Minister, both personally, coming, he's somebody who comes from Gujarat, but also politically?
The Somnath Temple to Prime Minister Modi, as also to all the citizens of the country, basically is a representation of our country's inconquerable spirit and civilizational continuity that has gone on for more than 5,000 years now. It also, you know, sort of, Tina, represents transitioning from the memory of destruction, which we know as Vidhvans, and to national renewal, which we know as Srijan. In fact, Vidhvans and Srijan are the two phrases that Prime Minister has used in his article today as he prepares to return to Somnath to mark the 75th year of the opening of the restored temple. You will recall that it was on May 11, 1951 that then President Rajendra Prasad had gone and opened this historic and majestic restored temple. And there had been issues with respect to, you know, the approval to the then president. Prime Minister Jawaharlal Nehru was not in favor of the head of the state going and attending the inauguration of a temple. Mm-hmm. But as we know, and as also pointed out in the article that Prime Minister Modi has authored today, Somnath is not just architecture or a building or just, you know, a representation of Indian art and symbols of, you know, India's majestic temple architecture. It is much more than that. It is a representation and reflection of our very strong, indomitable spirit. We all know that the first recorded attack on Somnath Temple was in 1026 by the Mahmud of Ghazni. And you just mentioned the Somnath Swabhiman Parv, for which Prime Minister had gone to Somnath in January. I still remember for 3 days the nation had commemorated the spirit of resilience and unbroken faith and sort of cultural identity that we associate with the temple of Somnath. And today again, when we read the article that has been authored by the Prime Minister, we find those references. He speaks of how the temple of Somnath was repeatedly, you know, destroyed, and it repeatedly renewed itself. So in a sense, you know, it stands tall as a symbol of India's very strong spirit, which has remained steadfast despite several invasions. We've suffered the invasion from the Mughals. Later on, we suffered the British colonial Raj. But our inherent courage and our inherent ability to sustain and endure any kind of hardship still stands tall and speaks loudly.
That's true. I think the temple's journey, if you look at history, does represent a movement. So from destruction to creation, and it in so many ways shows how faith and culture can survive despite the repeated attacks. One line, Ms. Tandon, that stands out from the Prime Minister's article is where he says, Somnath's message is especially relevant in a world marked by divisions, of course, indicating towards the current geopolitical scenario. What do you see is the larger message for the Indians and the larger role that India plays as a peace-loving country in this fragmented geopolitical landscape?
Yeah, I think as you correctly mentioned, that the Prime Minister's larger reference beyond Somnath, you see, he uses the analogy of the temple and its spirit and its civilizational continuity to send a message of peace to the entire world and to send a message of solidarity. Basically, he's trying to tell the world the life is, no matter how hard the times are, we live in very fragmented times. You know, this is an era of chaos. We see wars everywhere. West Asia is undergoing a major churn. Earlier, we saw Russia and Ukraine war, you know, being fought, and that is still going on. Right now, West Asia is dominating the headlines. So the Prime Minister is basically using the symbol of the Somnath Temple to communicate to the world that India stands as a harbinger of hope and a harbinger of peace in the world. This is exactly the message that Prime Minister has delivered on every world platform whenever he's had a chance. In fact, his very famous line, "This is not the era of war," at the time of, you know, at the height of Russia-Ukraine war. It's the same line that he has repeated throughout. And even in the midst of West Asia, although India has always stood for peace, repeatedly we've taken a stand that dialogue is the only way forward and all stakeholders should talk to each other. So the larger message that is being communicated is of peace, that the world has to understand that eventually it has to sustain itself. And the only sustaining factor in the whole universe is peaceful coexistence. There's no other way out.
That's true. And that's why we've also seen the Prime Minister often connecting heritage with national confidence. Because when we take pride in where we came from, the fact that today we are not just a modern nation state, we are an ancient civilization with continuity, with cultural confidence. And therefore, I think the effort by the Prime Minister is also to make the younger generation part of, you know, this civilizational journey and make them understand why it's important to be proud, in fact, of this civilizational journey that we talk about. Ms. Tandon, what are your views on this? How important is it to reconnect, reconnect a lot of people who have forgotten history or who perhaps are not aware of this important aspect of the Somnath Temple and how it resonates with the current political and geopolitical scenario?
See, I think as has been said by philosophers, Tina, as has been said by thinkers, that those who forget the past are condemned to be, you know, betrayed by the future. So we have to stay rooted. That's the only way to look forward in life. In fact, when we draw lessons from the past, when we stay rooted to our culture and civilization, that is what serves as the lifeblood through the various vagaries of time and civilizational spaces. Because you know that India has gone through a number of rough patches and India has successfully endured all those rough patches. In fact, the hard-earned freedom was fought on the basis of Mahatma Gandhi's Satyagraha movement. And there were all kinds of forces that plunged themselves into this whole, you know, spirit of national freedom. And it was a very hard-earned freedom. So when the Prime Minister recalls the past, when he refers to symbols such as Somnath or Kashi Vishwanath Temple or, you know, Kedarnath Dham, or when he goes to temples in South India, the message that he's trying to give is that we are one despite our diversities. Ek Bharat, Shesht Bharat. In fact, you find that reference even in his article today. The message that he's trying to give to everybody, the message to the youth, of course, is that you have to draw inspiration from your past and you have to stay connected to your roots, because that will give you the energy to move forward in life and the inspiration to, you know, conquer great heights. And secondly, the message that he's giving overall to the citizens is that no matter how many fault lines, you know, different forces, certain forces that are inimical to national interests want to basically highlight, it may be in the form of, you know, religious divides, it may be in the form of language and linguistic divides, or simply in the form of North versus South debate. The fact of the matter is all these temples, from Kashi, temples on the shores, the seashores of Tamil Nadu, right from Somnath to, you know, temples in North India, we are all basically one, and they all give the message of oneness. In fact, seers from across, from South India, have traveled to Kashi. Even today, you'll find on the shores of, you know, Ganga, so many seers who belong to South India.
That's
so
right.
This whole debate, which is North versus South, is frankly a manufactured debate. Until the time the youth of the country and the larger citizenry of the country understand that in the very roots of India is oneness, in the very roots is unity. You know, we all know Adi Shankaracharya and his travels, how he connected the whole, you know, north, south, west, east. So the fact of the matter is there is no north-south divide. It is all in the minds and it is all basically meant for political positioning. Really,
absolutely,
all these symbols, be it the symbol of faith like the Somnath Temple or any other symbol of our civilization, they are all basically giving one message of unity in diversity.
Certainly. I think you've described it quite well, that despite, you know, diversity across regions, across languages, communities, it's places like the Somnath, Kashi, which create that sense of unity among Indians. There's a related question that I'm going to ask you also, is that in a fast-moving digital age, no matter the effort by the Prime Minister to reconnect history with the current generation, do you think the youngsters today will be able to, or they do connect emotionally with stories of heritage, with the stories of sacrifice? The Prime Minister does not forget to mention the sacrifices which our ancestors made, and most importantly about the story of restoration in context of the Somnath Temple.
See, Tina, much of what influences the youth depends on what is the line the creative thinkers and the politicians of our times take. It is not fair to blame the youth for not connecting to the roots unless you are talking to the youth about their roots. Mm-hmm. The fact of the matter is somebody has to keep hammering these messages. For instance, today we have a prime minister who does not, tire out about speaking of Vikas Bhi Virasat Bhi. You know, in his speeches, he always invokes the past. He always celebrates freedom fighters, mentions all about, the symbols of Indian faith and civilization, not just temples, but the richness of Indian languages. We know that the prime minister has hailed and saluted Tamil language at the UN platform earlier. So the fact of the matter is the youth of the country are ready to receive. They are consumers of the knowledge that we disseminate to them. But this is a narrative that the political leaders of the day, the philosophers and thinkers of the day, the cinema artists of the day have to think about. For instance, just look at the revolution that we see now in the, cinematic space. All kinds of films are doing well. So many films that are rooted in our culture are doing well.
That's right.
So many films that speak of India's strategic depth and India's strategic victory over the inimical neighbors are doing well. So the fact of the matter is the digital age is the reality of our times, but that does not mean that there are no avenues of connecting the youth to their past or to their cultural richness. There are always those avenues, but that burden is with the policy makers, the politicians and thinkers of the day. Because what are we teaching the youth in the schools that is important? Are the school books being revised accordingly? Like we now know that the NCERT is paying a lot of attention to the courses that are being taught at school level, and a number of books have been revised to give so many freedom fighters their due. So that's the kind of thing I'm talking about, that there has to be a continuous revision and continuous education in relation to the richness that India boasts of. And this richness is on multiple counts, the richness of culture, of languages, the richness of our freedom fighting movement. So many national heroes that we don't know about yet, that we are coming to know about only now.
That's right. हिस्टोरियन पद्मश्री विष्णु पांड्या जी, आजादी के बाद जब सोमनाथ के पुनर्निर्माण का फैसला लिया गया, कई तरह का विरोध भी हुआ. इनफैक्ट जब प्रथम राष्ट्रपति डॉक्टर राजेंद्र प्रसाद उसके इनॉग्रेशन में गए तो तब के प्रधानमंत्री को वो पसंद भी नहीं था, ऐसा हमने इतिहास में पढ़ा है. लेकिन अगर हम देश के आत्मविश्वास के संदर्भ में इस मंदिर के पुनर्निर्माण को देखें, तो क्या वो सिर्फ मंदिर बनाना था या वो एक पहल थी देश के आत्मविश्वास को फिर से खड़ा करना? वो एक बड़ा मैसेज था कि जो टूटा है वो फिर से जुड़ेगा और वो फिर से खड़ा होगा. जिस संदेश की आज हम बात कर रहे हैं उसकी नींव कहीं ना कहीं उस दिन रखी गई थी?
नहीं, उसी दिन नहीं थी. मैं बिल्कुल स्पष्ट हूँ, ये परंपरा में हुआ है. जब से भगवान सोम ने मंदिर बनाया तब से जितने लोग आए, मोहम्मद गिजनी आए, अलाउद्दीन खिलजी आए, अलफ खान आए, मुजफ्फर गुर्जर सुल्तान आए, औरंगजेब आए, मोहम्मद बेगड़ा आया और मोहम्मद गजन भी आए, इतने आक्रमण के बाद भी क्यों खड़ा किया? ये कोई केवल मंदिर नहीं था, मंदिर तो बहुत से होते हैं और गुजरात में बहुत से मंदिरों को भी नष्ट किया था, लेकिन सोमनाथ ये भारतीय सांस्कृतिक इतिहास का प्रतीक है. विनाश से निर्माण मैंने कहा, वो उस आधार पर वो खड़ा है और उसी आधार पर वहां से जो कुछ बना, कुछ संकल्प हुए. इसीलिए नरेंद्र मोदी जब गुजरात के मुख्यमंत्री थे तब उन्होंने एक शब्द दिया था, संकल्प कथा, संकल्प यात्रा, और कहा था कि प्रत्येक व्यक्ति एक संकल्प ले, गुजरात विशेष हो जाएगा. और उन्हीं दिनों में मैंने कहा सरदार वल्लभ भाई, ये एक नींव का सबसे बड़ा ऐतिहासिक आरंभ था. ये बात सही है. और सरदार वल्लभ भाई ने जब संकल्प किया कि सोमनाथ तो होना चाहिए, फिर बात दिल्ली तक पहुंची. और सभी अब उन दिनों के जो लेखक हैं उन्होंने कहा है कि जवाहरलाल नेहरू को ये ठीक नहीं लगा. उनका कहना था कि ये बिन सांप्रदायिक हमारा देश है, इसमें कोई दैवी मंदिर को इस प्रकार पुनर्निर्माण करना सरकार के द्वारा ये ठीक नहीं है
जी.
फिर वे लोग गांधी जी के पास गए, ये घटना है, और गांधी जी ने बीच का रास्ता निकाला. उन्होंने कहा कि ठीक है सरकार मदद न दे, लेकिन लोगों के द्वारा फंडिंग करके इनको खड़ा किया जाएगा. ये बात हुई. बाद में तो गांधी जी भी नहीं रहे, सरदार भी नहीं रहे, और जब प्रतिष्ठित हो गया, मंदिर हो गया, तो राष्ट्रपति थे राजेंद्र बाबू को आमंत्रित किया गया. और ये स्पष्ट है, उन दिनों के जो सब बयान है उसमें जवाहरलाल जी ने ना कहा। वो अपने ढंग से वो सोचते थे कि भाई ये सेक्युलर स्टेट है, सेक्युलर स्टेट है, लेकिन राष्ट्रपति जी ने कहा कि सेक्युलर होने के बावजूद मैं सभी जगह जाता हूं, यदि मस्जिद का पुनरोद्धार होगा तो मैं वहां भी जाऊंगा। ये देश की संस्कृति है ऐसा। और आए और सोमनाथ का जीर्णोद्धार का बहुत बड़ा कार्यक्रम हुआ, उनके बाद बार बार ये हुआ। तो ये और फिर 47 के बाद ये यहाँ जो गुजरात राज्य 1960 में बना, तब से यहाँ की जो प्रजा थी, यहाँ के जो नेता थे, उन्होंने सोमनाथ ट्रस्ट बनाया। सोमनाथ ट्रस्ट पहले भी था, उसमें दिग्विजय सिंह जी ने बड़ा काम किया, जामनगर के महाराजा ने
जी।
और ये हमारे बहुत से ऐसे राजवी थे कि जो परम सांस्कृतिक प्रतिनिधि भी थे, संस्कृति के साथ जुड़े हुए थे। तो ये हुआ और फिर सोमनाथ ट्रस्ट के द्वारा ये काम हुआ। इससे पहले पूर्व मुख्यमंत्री केशुभाई पटेल थे अध्यक्ष, अब नरेंद्र मोदी है। और नरेंद्र मोदी के मार्गदर्शन में इस जो स्थान है, इस स्थान को एक ऐतिहासिक बनाने की यात्रा शुरू हुई है।
प्रधानमंत्री 11 मई को दोबारा जा रहे हैं वहां पर। आपने जिस तरह से हमें पूरा समझाया कि किस तरह ये प्रतीक है एकता का, जिसका जिक्र प्रधानमंत्री ने अपने लेख में भी किया है, लेकिन अगर आज के भारत को सोमनाथ की कहानी से अगर एक सीख लेनी हो पांड्या जी, तो वो क्या होगी? और इसको मैं जोड़ूंगी आज के जियोपॉलिटिकल संदर्भ से भी, क्योंकि प्रधानमंत्री ने ये जिक्र किया है कि आज जब दुनिया में हर जगह जिस तरह से हम देख रहे हैं कि यूनिटी बिल्कुल नहीं है और जिस तरह से डिविजन्स हैं कई लेवल्स पर, उस संदर्भ में उन्होंने सोमनाथ का जिक्र किया है। तो अगर एक सीख हम आज के अपने देश के और दुनिया के संदर्भ में लें तो सोमनाथ से, वो क्या होगा?
मेरी दृष्टि से ये केवल जियो पॉलिटिकल है नहीं है, ये जियो कल्चरल भी। और सांस्कृतिक अस्मिता हिंदुस्तान की, हम बाकी विश्व की इसमें चिंता न करें, वो वहां शांति होगी या नहीं होगा, वहां युद्ध होगा नहीं होगा, वो तो अपने ढंग से वो सोचेंगे तब होगा। लेकिन भारतवर्ष में इन दिनों में युवा शक्ति को एक राष्ट्रीय जागरयाम वयम, राष्ट्र में हम सभी जगह जागते रहे, हम जहां भी हो जैसे भी हो, लेकिन जागृति बहुत बड़ी आवश्यक अनिवार्य है। और इसी इतिहास बोध से लेकर नरेंद्र मोदी ने गुजरात में ऐसे दो स्थान का निर्माण हुआ है, एक सोमनाथ का है और दूसरा केवड़िया कॉलोनी नर्मदा के किनारे सरदार पटेल की स्टेच्यू ऑफ यूनिटी है, एकता की प्रतिमा। ये दोनों ऐतिहासिक है, आज तो वहां देश देशावर से लोग जाते हैं, तो ये इनकी इतिहास बोध की दृष्टि से ये हो रहा है। और आपने एक सवाल विदुषी को पूछा था कि युवा वर्ग इसमें कैसे जुड़ेगा, मेरी दृष्टि से और मेरे अनुभव से, मैं अध्यापक भी रहा हूं, मैं बोलता भी हूं।
रीसेंट टाइम्स एज यू लाइक राइटली मेंशनड, गिवन द प्राइम मिनिस्टर्स आउटरीच एज वेल एज द काइंड ऑफ एफर्ट्स दैट हैव बीन अंडरटेकन इन रीसेंट इयर्स, वी डू सी दैट देयर इज अ रिन्यूड कॉन्फिडेंस अमंग इंडियंस अबाउट देयर नेशनल आइडेंटिटी, अबाउट देयर कल्चर, अबाउट देयर रूट्स, एंड वी आर ऑल्सो प्रोजेक्टिंग आवर हेरिटेज ग्लोबली through yoga, through Buddhism, through spirituality. Do you also see Somnath as part of that larger story in helping India project its cultural heritage, its civilizational on the global stage?
Yeah, in fact, it's very interesting with the question that you asked, the fact that the Somnath temple is located in Gujarat, and also the fact that Gujaratis are very vibrant diaspora members and they are brand ambassadors of the Indian story outside. And you spoke of soft power, of course, not just the Somnath temple, but so many other rejuvenated temple complexes in the country. You can take the Char Dham Yatra, then you can take Kashi Vishwanath temple, which has been redone fully. And in fact, if you look at the statistics, you will realize, Tina, that not just domestic tourism has been boosted through this religious rejuvenation, but a lot of international tourists are also coming back. You know, a lot of Indians only live abroad who are now coming back to revisit these places of worship, all these religious shrines. Okay. So that's one very important thing. And of course, Somnath temple is part of the larger soft power segment of India. Our rich and ancient civilization, our democratic values, and our growing global influence through yoga, which you mentioned. Then we have Bollywood. Our cuisine is doing wonders all across the world. In fact, recently, Indian cheese also made global headlines by winning two major awards at a Brazilian event. That was the first ever time.
Right.
So, you know, culture and civilization straddle so many different sectors. It's not just faith or religion. It's food. You know, it's our language, it's our practices, it's our lifestyle. So it's across sectors.
your personal thoughts on how we can make our civilizational values coexist, or sort of say make it a strength in today's global climate, which helps India achieve its ambitious goals and it helps us grow as individuals, balancing between history and modernity and the future, maybe balancing between history and the future.
See, the fact of the matter remains that, you know, the adaptive nature of Indians, as we are, you know, Bharatiya Sabhyata, which we call, this adaptive nature has taken us through so much, and we have not, you know, really fallen to the vagaries of time or to the vagaries of conquerors. Civilization remains our greatest strength, and it is particularly important for the fact that it has helped us endure and, you know, stay strong. It's basically, Tina, our living heritage. It combines ancient wisdom, we can call it by different names, the Vedas, the Upanishads, with modern progress. See, which society can adapt as fast and as beautifully as our Indian society? We go back 5,000 years, and yet we are, you know, today commanding 50% of digital transactions in the world are happening in India. So we are the same society, old and yet new.
Thank you, ma'am. It's been wonderful hearing your insights on this very important topic. बल्कि मेरा एक सवाल विष्णु पांड्या जी, सोमनाथ आपने बताया कि सिर्फ आस्था का केंद्र नहीं है, भारत के लिए निरंतरता का भी प्रतीक रहा है, तो ऐसे में हमें ऐसे और क्या कदम उठाने चाहिए जिससे आने वाली पीढ़ियों के लिए इतिहास सिर्फ किताबों तक ही सीमित ना रह जाए, ऐसे कदम उठाने चाहिए जिससे वो इतिहास को महसूस कर सकें और उसे बखूबी समझें।
अग्रता क्रम में तो वैसे इतिहास का पुनर्लेखन और चिंतन होना चाहिए, ये एक बात। दूसरी बात ये है कि अध्यापकों को भी ट्रेनिंग देनी चाहिए इतिहास के बारे में, जो नहीं है आज, ठीक ढंग से इतिहास सिखा जाए, दूसरी बात। तीसरी बात, लोग युवा वर्ग तक कम्युनिकेट होने के लिए ऐसे व्याख्यान भी हो सकते हैं, धर्मोपदेशक वाले या प्रोफेसर या फिलोसोफर, बाकी सब हो कर सकते हैं। हमारी नाट्य संस्कृति जो है उनको पुनर्जीवित करके ऐसी घटनाओं पर नाटक होने चाहिए। फिल्मों का भी बड़ा सशक्त माध्यम है, डॉक्यूमेंट्रीज है, उनके द्वारा भी बार बार, एक बार नहीं बार बार इसका प्रस्तुतिकरण हो, तो धीरे धीरे धीरे, और मैंने, मेरा अनुभव है कि जब युवा वर्ग के सामने बोलता हूं तो उनकी आंखों में एक प्रकार की एक स्पिरिट आ जाता है कि हमें कुछ और भी चाहिए
जी।
सच बात है, उन लोगों तक हम पहुंचे नहीं, पहुंचना चाहिए, ये धीरे धीरे व्यापक रूप से पूरे देश में हो सकता है। तो मेरे दृष्टि से पुनः एक बार हमारी परंपरा, 5000 साल से भी पहले शायद, ये परंपरा में जो विनाश से निर्माण की एक भावना है, संस्कृति इसी आधार पर टिकी हुई है। सब सोमनाथ में भी जब उत्खनन हुआ है, चार सभ्यताएं सिविलाइजेशन की अवशेष मिले हैं, तो कितने हमारी सभ्यताएं दीर्घकालीन होती होगी, इसका भी हमें ख्याल करना चाहिए, और इसके लिए योग्य माहौल बनाकर ये हम कर सकते हैं, और आकाशवाणी इसमें सबसे ज्यादा निर्णायक बन सकती है।
बिल्कुल, बहुत बहुत धन्यवाद सर आपका हमारे कार्यक्रम में जुड़ने के लिए और हमें बताने के लिए कि सोमनाथ क्यों इतिहास में ही नहीं बल्कि आज के संदर्भ में भी बहुत ही ज्यादा जरूरी है और खास करके युवा वर्ग के लिए जरूरी है कि हम इस जगह के बारे में जानें कि इसने इस देश को क्या दिया है और आज के संदर्भ में भी ये कितना प्रासंगिक है। So the story of Somnath Temple, listeners, is not just about a temple rebuilt in stone. It is about civilization, in fact, that refuses to lose its spirit. So 1,000 years after the first attack and 75 years after its restoration, Somnath continues to stand tall as a reminder that India's strength lies not only in its history, but in its ability to rebuild, to endure, and most importantly, to move forward with confidence. So on that very interesting note, we'll have to wrap up the conversation. Time allows us to take up only that much on the program. So that's it from us, listeners, on this program. You can also listen to our program, Current Affairs, on our mobile app, News on AIR, and our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official.
Current Affairs.